This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, May 8th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. CDFA's tricky challenge with enteric emissions. Avocado growers rejoice on Cinco de Mayo. And ag sector managing rising interest rates. California puts money to solving tricky enteric issues. A Senate Budget Committee last week approved a plan by Democratic lawmakers to invest $35 million in methane reduction programs and $5 million for related research. Virginia Jameson, CDFA Deputy Secretary for Climate and Working Lands, told the lawmakers enteric emissions are a, quote, very challenging issue. More than 10 billion gut bacteria produce the methane. Many different agricultural byproducts, such as broccoli stalks and carrot tops, are used in cattle rations. Figuring out how feed additives interact with these and cut long-term emissions is tricky, she surmised. CDFA summit last week with UC Davis drew a full audience of more than 300 farmers, researchers, and officials to contemplate feed additives. Now keep in mind, Michael Baccadoro, who leads dairy industry efforts on methane, expects to roll out an early adopter program by the second half of next year. He's hoping that will involve a mix of state, federal, and private financing. And on that note, the subcommittee also approved $25 million to investigate options for removing carbon dioxide directly from the atmosphere. The Electric Power Research Institute has already embarked on a $3 million engineering design study for a direct air capture hub in Kern County. UC Berkeley is considering such a hub in the southern part of the San Joaquin Valley. But such technology would only be a small supplement to agriculture's significant role in the region with pulling carbon dioxide from the air. Celebrating Cinco de Mayo with more avocados. Growth in global avocado production and trade is far from over. That according to a special Cinco de Mayo report from Rabo Research. The global market is worth about $18 billion. Mexico continues to dominate with exports, while the U.S. is the largest importing market. Trade will continue to expand, but the market will grow more competitive. That will force producers to be more efficient as well as more sustainable to match consumer interest and the increasing popularity of the fruit. Both the Mexican and Californian supply have recovered from last year, leaving little room for Peruvian imports to the U.S. But the California growing season is delayed this year and will extend into the late summer. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning and welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. EPA takes next step in review of neonicotinoids. A new Environmental Protection Agency analysis shows that the neonicotinoid clothianidin, thiamexam, and imidacloprid may jeopardize the continued existence of between 9 and 11% of federally listed threatened or endangered species. In general, neonicotinoid insecticides provide control of a variety of piercing and sucking pests, including those that cause plant diseases such as aphids and whitefly, the agency said. On the insecticide clothianidin, EPA projects it's likely to adversely affect, and EPA predicts that its use may cause jeopardy to 9% of listed species and adversely modify 4% of critical habitats. For imidacloprid, EPA says it is likely to adversely affect, and EPA predicts that use may cause jeopardy to 11% of listed species and adversely modify 3% of critical habitats. And for thiamethoxam, EPA states its use may cause jeopardy to 11% of listed species and adversely modify 4% of critical habitats. EPA said it's providing its analysis to the Fish and Wildlife Service so it can make the final determinations. Debt ceiling talks ahead this week. The House and Senate are both in action this week as the clock ticks toward the federal government hitting the debt ceiling as soon as next month. Ahead of House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's meeting with President Joe Biden tomorrow, 43 Republican senators released a letter backing McCarthy's demands for spending cuts in exchange for raising the debt ceiling. Now, that is a sufficient number of senators to stop the Senate from taking up a debt ceiling bill they don't like. The letter released on Saturday says, quote, "Our economy is in free fall due to unsustainable fiscal policies. This trajectory must be addressed with fiscal reforms." Now, take note, on Friday, the Congressional Budget Office is set to release an updated baseline, or a cost forecast, if you will, for farm programs that will be critical for writing the new farm bill. The baseline will be used to estimate the cost of making modifications to the farm bill. That would include increasing reference prices. There's lots of stuff that needs to be scored by the CBO. The top Republican on the Senate Ag Committee, John Bozeman of Arkansas, tells AgriPulse. Oh, and by the way, the debt ceiling stalemate isn't slowing down the farm bill. Bozeman says it's unlikely the committee would be ready to take up a bill before the August recess. He said, quote, "I think the debt ceiling debate will play out well in advance before we actually have to make final decisions." Now, for more on this week's D.C. agenda, you can read our Washington Week Ahead at AgriPulse.com. Ag sector managing rising interest rates. Farm balance sheets look good today, but rising interest rates and higher farm expenses will pressure farm finances moving forward. That according to the latest quarterly economic outlook published by major ag credit lender Farmer Mac. Typically, when financial conditions tighten in farm country, farmers look to their working capital for relief. When working capital declined between 2014 and 2018, farmers were able to utilize short-term financing at relatively low interest rates. However, the average interest rate on agriculture production loans, 48% higher today than during that period, the report says. Many farmers and ranchers locked in historically low interest rates between 2020 and 2022, but the new interest rate has been increasing at the fastest climb since the 1970s as the Fed attempts to address rising inflation. The report also notes that agriculture banks entered 2023 better positioned to endure the current economic period of rising interest rates than Silicon Valley Bank, which defaulted in March. The rising and elevated interest rate environment may continue to stretch bank liquidity and cause financial stress, but ag lenders came into 23 in an excellent position to endure heightened volatility, the report says. Finally, here's today's She Said It. You were not too scary. That CDFA Deputy Secretary Virginia Jameson at the end of her testimony to the Budget Subcommittee. Jameson was nervous to take the hot seat surrounded by a phalanx of lawmakers. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, May 8th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.